Let's talk about Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. That's right. No more excuses. Get your lazy ass off the couch. Go start a podcast. There's the creation tool that allows you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Once again, no more excuses. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Couldn't be easier. Even better, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. That's right. They're paying us for this ad. Thank you very much, Anchor. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started now.
This is The Dime, a 10-minute dive into the cannabis and hemp industry through trends, insights, predictions, and tangents.
What's up, guys? This is The Dime. This week, we're talking about cannabis culture. When someone says the words cannabis culture, what do you think of? Do you think of a Rastafarian? Skateboarders with beanies? Suburban moms with vape cartridges? Cannabis has a history dating back to ancient times, but what has the culture around the plant become specifically today and in the past? Kellen, what examples of cannabis culture can you think of?
There's a couple different cannabis cultures, I think, in my mind, right? And I think that, like, my exposure to them changed as I grew up, right? In high school, I don't think that, like, I really associated cannabis with a specific culture. I mean, yeah, a lot of the, like, we all listen to reggae, right? Or Slightly Stupid and, like, you know, like, the stoner music, I guess you could say. But, like, we also listened to all the other music, right? So we weren't, like, pigeonholed into one culture. But as I kind of got older and moved out to California and immersed myself in the real hard cannabis users, right? Like, there is a definite specific culture, at least out in California, where, like, people wear crystals and they are really passionate about their glassware and they have very kind of like almost like the deadheads, right? Like, there is a whole following of the deadheads. And I mean, I don't know if it's this exact same way in New York. I mean, is that exactly how it was for you, Brian? I mean, different cannabis cultures in New York or what?
So the culture for me has evolved from, in middle school, the idea of the kid standing on the corner of the street across from the school smoking blunts or joints and evolving to, you know, don't smoke cannabis or don't smoke pot because it will make you lazy, you'll drop out of school, you won't play sports, all those things, to an evolution of now where it's looked at, in my perspective, as more of the medicinal aspects of it. Still with the aspects of, like, sitting on the couch and sliding in between the couch, which is still my favorite image of all time of the guy who smokes a joint on the couch and just slithers into the in between the couch cushions. So I think the culture's evolved as my understanding has evolved and has kind of grown up. And I wonder specifically about the next generation who has had a very different stance on cannabis, just by the standpoint of growing up in today's day and age with cannabis being legal in a bunch of different states. It's not going to have the same stigma as it did back in the 90s when I grew up and everyone was like, pot's a gateway drug.
Yeah, I mean, so what would be the main cannabis culture component for you right now? If you had to, like, say, like, that right there is the main component of a cannabis culture. Let me rephrase that. Let's say this, right? Like, what would be the main component of an active recreational user that is a member of kind of that adult use cannabis culture nowadays, right? Like the modern stoner, I guess you could say. Like, what would be, like, the main thing that you would predict, I guess?
I think the biggest misinformation out there is that you can be a functioning user of cannabis. Not everyone that consumes cannabis is a, for lack of better words, degenerate that sits on their couch for 12 hours a day, that doesn't have a job, that doesn't do anything. People can consume cannabis as a smoking break, where they step outside, they can take a quick rip of a joint, or it helps them alleviate anxiety, or it helps them calm their nerves, or it helps them with some of their sicknesses where they can't eat. All of those concepts of consuming cannabis where you would sneak off and come back with your red eyes and people would immediately judge you for being, intolerable or difficult to participate in society. And I think that understanding has really evolved to a point where you can be an active member of society functioning at a high level with under the use of cannabis.
Yeah, and I think that hits on a huge point that's like prevalent through the industry, that like something that the whole entire industry has been fighting for who knows how long, right? Which is literally that cultural stigma that cannabis is a drug, and if you use cannabis, you're a drug addict and you're not a functioning member of society, and it's the devil's lettuce, and all of these like stigmas that have literally been instilled by the media, or just say no, or whatever the flavor of the week as far as the anti-drug ads growing up were, right? And so it's pretty wild to see like this cultural shift from like being painted, cannabis users being painted into this corner of like being drug addicts to like, no, actually it's probably healthier than drinking alcohol, right? And there's a lot of really healthy people that actively partake in cannabis. I mean, a lot of people, like, I think that a huge shift now is people are finally realizing that, hey, like, to use cannabis, you don't have to be a smoker, right? Like, you can just eat it, right? Which is completely a game changer, right? Like, now you're not a smoker being classified as all of those stigmas that come with smokers, right? You're not exposing yourself to free radicals, lung cancer, all those things are out the door. So now it's like, okay, like, technically it's healthier on your body than alcohol. You can consume it in a fashion that doesn't harm you. So like all of these things I think are going to facilitate a huge change or shift within the cannabis culture. And I think that is like, it matches with what we kind of just described, both of us, right, Ryan, is that like, as we aged, we saw the cannabis culture change as well, right? From like, you smoke weed and you get really, really skinny, and you can kind of be weightless, right, in the couch, right, to like now people can eat an edible and go for a run and actually might help within the endocannabinoid system and help your body heal after that run, right? So like a complete paradigm shift has occurred just within our lifetime.
Yeah, and it remains to be seen how much more it shifts in that direction as the research comes out and people learn more and the benefits start to align with actual real science. It's going to be pretty wild to see the growth, especially over the next year.
Yeah, and I mean, so like, do you think that let's predict, right? So do you think that the technology is going to accelerate that kind of shift in the culture and like society's acceptance? Or do you think it's still going to take like 5-10 years, almost another generation, if you will, to like grow up and become adults to really facilitate that cultural change?
It probably depends on where you are. The United States is so broad with its thinking, and there's so many pockets of people that sometimes, unfortunately, are living in the past. And while I think it's really easy and fun to sometimes pretend like things don't exist, it's just not real life, right? There's things happening every single day that, you know, you can pretend like it's not happening. But at the end of the day, if it's happening, it's time to accept reality. And I think it just depends on the advancements are where you are in certain states, for sure. It's still going to be the devil's lettuce into the near future. And it's pretty much inevitable that their perspective is not going to change because they're just not exposed to enough new situations. Where I think for you and I who are in major cities, it'll be an aggressive change. I think from what I've seen in New York City, you can always smell it now. And it used to be one of those where you would smell it once in a while and you would assume a cop was going to come bust them up. But now it's going to be one of those where I think it's going to be prevalent everywhere, and it's just going to be an accepted thing, just like someone smoking a cigarette. Yeah, maybe you don't like the smell of the cigarette, and maybe you don't like the smell of cannabis, but at the end of the day, that's that individual's choice. And at the end of the day, we live in America where everyone has their own freedoms. What do you think, Kellen? Do you have any spicy takes to put on top?
I agree with everything you said, and I just think that the alternative ways of ingesting it, and as that technology becomes better and better, I think that it'll just kind of be a snowball effect. And you'll just see a massive kind of paradigm shift within the next 5 years where everyone will just accept it because it'll be like, oh no, like you can just have a gummy bear. And that is now you're a cannabis user, right? So like, I think that the technology associated with the administration methods, as well as social media and all those things, are going to just drastically accelerate the cultural change, hopefully, right, for us, right? and for the industry as a whole. So yeah, that's my prediction. I think that it will snowball.
You want to put a date on it?
A date? I'll put a date on it.
Like a date where you would say, hey, it's changed by this date.
All right. And the change is going to be federal legalization. So
we can all right. I'm into that type of challenge.
January 1st, 2024.
Wow.
That's my guess. Why? What's your guess? You got a better guess in your head of me?
Way hotter. I'm going to say, it's funny as I would have said earlier, but now I'm going to push it out a little bit because I got some wiggle room. I would say Q1 2022. I would say maybe
an actual date. January 1st, January 2nd, January 3rd.
January 15th, 2022.
All right. It's just tough, right? Like we can't like flip to federal legalization. Like we can't flip the switch because it's a total monk, like just a total bumbaclot fest going from no cannabis to a legal market, right? Like there are so many loose ends that need to happen in between that like the federal government can't just be like, okay, cannabis is legal, free for all. Like it's literally just being like, okay, every black market entity, here you go, have at it, right? Like, it would just be a total nightmare. That's why they have to stage it, right? They have to have a medical market. The medical market has to operate for a couple years. They have to get the people used to seeing dispensaries, right? Like, I had a conversation with my cousin who lives in Texas, who is literally very anti-cannabis, right? And he was like, there's no way cannabis will be legal in Texas. He's like, there's no way I will let there be a weed dispensary or a drug dealer on every corner of my city.
No.
And so like you're still fighting that stigma. So like you can't just like be like federal legalization, here we go. Everyone have at it.
Because the image, right, the stigma associated with cannabis and dealers is a super negative connotation. So
super
that negative in itself is a real problem. I had an uncle that's from Connecticut, and we were in Portland, and we went into a dispensary, and at first, he didn't want to go in. He was like, I'm not going in here. He's super conservative, right? He's like, I'm not going in here. He's like, I can't be associated with this. And I was like, why not? He's like, because. I was like, well, it's a real store. They pay taxes. Everyone here works here. It's like a real thing. Like, it's not a, well, he's like,
fine.
Right, like, it's like a real thing. He's like, it's, you're not going to go to jail if you go in here. But I think for him, who's grown up in a very different thought process, like it's devil's lettuce. And anytime you can be associated with devil's lettuce, it's scary.
Oh no. And you saw one of your friends had devil lettuce. They weren't your friend anymore. You know, you're like, get away from me. I can't be associated with you anymore.
I think sometimes the people who are most frightened by it would probably benefit the most from consumption of it.
They're already, because they're so wound tight, you know what I
mean? Right. Just like a little sprinkle, and just enjoy your coffee, Uncle Jack, right? Like, here you go, bud.
It's totally tough, though, because I had a buddy in college, right? And, like, we smoked weed in college, and then he's from the East Coast. He's from Syracuse. He moved back, and then, like, we all had, like, a reunion after college, like, 4 years later, right? Clearly hadn't smoked cannabis again since he got out of college, right? He came up to Colorado. It was legal, right? We went and bought some gummy bears, and we were like, we're going to eat gummy bears and go skiing, right? And he, like, literally had a straight panic attack that we were going to eat gummy bears that had cannabis in it. And he's like, well, what if I get drug tested? I was like, dude, it's going to be out of your system in 10 days. Like, you're literally, you don't actively use. And he literally had a panic attack and didn't talk to any of us for the rest of the trip. And now he's no longer our friend. He refuses to talk to us because we still use cannabis outside of college. And I was like, what? It was like one of the craziest situations, like straight up, like look at us like we were all drug addicts when like six like 25-year-olds were like handing out some gummy bears to go skiing. Like he was just like, what are you guys doing? We're like, eating gummy bears, and he's like, you guys are doing drugs. Like, I'm out. We're like, first off, we're all adults now. Like, so it's wild, right? Because, and like, he's a type of person that will, I don't think that any amount of technology or anything will change that, you know?
The East Coast is different. The East Coast is super behind. So hopefully we'll get our act together with New Jersey starting it, and then New York will quickly accelerate. But we're super behind.
Right? Like, it just takes – change takes time, and that's why I think that, like, it's tough to just flip the switch on federal legalization.
Yeah. So thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
I'm Joyce Gerber, the creator and host of the award-winning podcast, The Canna Mom Show. And we are on a mission to enhance the impact women have on this industry as business professionals, healthcare providers, policy advocates, caregivers, moms, by sharing and preserving their stories of love and kindness, wisdom, and hope. I am so grateful to have found my tribe of Canna podcasters right here on PodConX, and look forward to our work of crushing the stigma around cannabis and caregivers and building this new industry together.